You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
This is an exciting day in the history of the NBN.
Copyright.gov is down. FBI.gov is next to go.
The world is in trouble. There is no Wikipedia.
Who here has an iPhone? Who here has a BlackBerry? Who here uses Gmail? Well, you're all screwed.
So we'll be monitoring this very closely. No one will pay for these rights if they can't find a way to make money off them.
Copyright is such a big issue. Legislation as 2006 is already outdated by the new technologies.
On air, on the internet, and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first edition of Tech Talk Radio for 2012. I'm Andrew McComb. Well, it's good to be back. And as per usual, plenty has happened while we've been off air and living the life of rest and relaxation. Well, for some of us anyway. The big news on today's show is Optus's win in the legal system, allowing Optus customers to time shift AFL and NRL sporting events, although it may be a short-lived victory. Also, Facebook is looking to raise about $5 billion, so Mark has chosen to sell shares to the public. Then there's Google's privacy update. You know, the one you didn't read when it splashed across your screen in the past week. SOPA was all the rage while we were on holidays, with many popular websites shutting down for a day to protest the proposal before the US government. So we'll take a look at that too. Adam Turner is back with his view from the couch. There's news from the gaming world and a whole lot more. Oh, and don't forget the Oddspot, Gadget, Website and App of the Week. First up, though, sounding well-rested and sprightly, here's Dr. Ron with this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, the AFL, NRL and Telstra are all in damage control after a decision against them in the federal court. Facebook is under fire for its new user interface, Timeline. Dick Smith Electronics is up for sale and Julian Assange launches his final appeal in the United Kingdom. Welcome to Tech Talk News. The federal court has ruled that Optus did not violate copyright law by allowing viewers to stream AFL and NRL football on its TV Now service. TV Now is an online catch-up service which allows customers to record and play back free-to-air TV, including AFL and NRL games, on smartphones and laptop computers. Minister for Communications, Senator the Honourable Stephen Conroy, told Channel 9 last week that the government was considering legislation which would protect the rights of broadcasters and their sponsors in the future.
The decision came down yesterday. We're considering it. There will be an appeal. So we'll be monitoring this very closely and we'll be wanting to make sure that we get the right balance between consumers and the sporting rights bodies and the TV stations. No one will pay for these rights if they can't find a way to make money off them.
Optus says that its TV Now service does nothing more than allow subscribers to record programs they wish to watch at a later time, and that its service falls within fair use rights under the Australian Copyright Act. Here's the ABC's business editor, Mr. Peter Ryan.
Optus, of course, says time shifting is no different to what people have been doing with their home video recorders over the years, and what is also available through services like TiVo and Foxtel IQ.
The decision has put the AFL's $1.25 billion media rights deal in jeopardy, but AFL chief Mr. Andrew Demetriou said the proper legal processes would be undertaken and that the AFL would exploit all avenues to appeal the decision. Popular social network Facebook has again come under fire for the way it handles users' private information. Introduced in December, a new user interface called Timeline is progressively being deployed, which is an expanded profile that displays content at the discretion of users rather than the standard familiar wall post approach. Facebook says the new interface will give more creative control over how users' content is displayed and will initially default to users' current privacy settings. But critics say while the social network has been at pains to point out the range of privacy benefits, one big option is conspicuously absent, and that's the ability to turn it all off. Users have 7 days to preview and tweak what details, photos, likes and interests appear in Timeline before it automatically goes live. Facebook says that all accounts will eventually be forced to change to using the Timeline profile. Popular consumer technology chain Dick Smith Electronics is up for sale after its owner Woolworths said it no longer sees enough value in the business to warrant further investment. Woolworths CEO Mr. Grant O'Brien said that Dick Smith Electronics had occupied too much management attention and simply did not fit with the rest of its high-volume retail outlets. Mr. O'Brien said that as many as 100 underperforming stores out of 386 in Australia and New Zealand would be closed as part of what he described as an accelerated rationalisation of the business before sale. Mr. O'Brien said affected staff would be offered redeployment elsewhere in the group. The founder of the electronics chain, Mr. Dick Smith, said on ABC Radio that Woolworths was obsessed with chasing growth.
Woolworths only want to own, or in fact any Australian public company only wants to own something that's going to grow. They haven't yet realised that's impossible. One day they'll run out of growth, presumably then they'll be taken over by Walmart, because that's the only way Walmart will get growth.
Woolworths shares rose after the announcement, adding as much as 2% in morning trade on Tuesday, but closed down slightly at $24.40 at the end of trading last week. And WikiLeaks founder and editor-in-chief Mr. Julian Assange has launched his final appeal at the British Supreme Court against a Swedish extradition attempt. A European arrest warrant was issued for Mr. Assange to face allegations of sexual assault. Mr. Assange has lost two other appeals, and this is now his last chance to avoid extradition. Supporters of Julian Assange believe the assault allegations are politically motivated after WikiLeaks released secret military and diplomatic documents in 2010. The case has broader implications for international arrest warrants issued in the EU and their validity over non-citizens living in the United Kingdom. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
The NBN rolled out into town.
It's real.
It's touchable.
It's real. It's happening.
Yeah. I've lost track of the number of times I've read about the importance of strong passwords.
Oh, Adam, I couldn't agree more.
Adult movie studio, ooh. Vivid Entertainment.
You know, so it's very much uplink limited, and there's a lot of uplink in there.
Really?
Yes.
It's radio for enthusiasts, so, you know, electronics and radio.
Oh, it's
enthusiasts.
More than radio.
Back in 2006, we introduced a new amateur radio license called the Foundation License.
There's ways to manage that. There's ways to create passwords that you can remember.
Potato, potato.
Tornado, tornado.
It's ADSL speeds in a laboratory or in Graham Kelligan world. It's not ADSL speeds in real world.
Well, listen, you two can take it to the
listen
car park
to the
later.
Fangirl now.
A short while after that, the publisher said that there would be a game transfer fee.
But because Manglish.
Manglish.
I'm okay. Not giving any spoilers.
No spoilers.
Spoiler within itself.
I don't know what you do with your Galaxy, but maybe it's got one of those sims in it that you speak of.
And if you can't get high definition video from the patient to the doctor, then the thing doesn't achieve that aim.
Why are you a nerd? And you're like, I don't know, I wasn't expecting that question. Ask me about television.
Wireless can't carry everything.
What does Harvey Norman have to do with technology?
STFU.
That's the one?
Yes.
Yes. And unfortunately, I have to single out the female mobile phone users.
Oh.
You did post-production on my pre-production.
I did. Shut up, Dr. Ron. It's not a...
So Mr. Zuckerberg is certainly...
Nonsense.
Wrong.
Speaking of Qantas.
I usually enjoy your podcast.
Oh
dear. Come on. What was wrong with the...
Oh, what was right with...
Didn't someone say very early on that that signal was going to be unencrypted, that anyone could access it?
Sure, that's a helicopter.
Or a vacuum cleaner.
There's only... Yeah.
We'll find out of you in a minute. Nice.
You said that it started production. Is that what I heard you say the other
yes.
week?
Yes, time to adjourn to a place where there is food.
Everyone
is...
That was the final episode of Tech Talk Radio.
Entertaining, informative and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
On Tech Talk Radio.
Oh, what does this button do? Hello, everybody. Welcome to Tech Talk Radio. We're back for 2012. Dr. Ron.
This is exciting, isn't it?
Been counting the days, haven't we?
We have. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you. And welcome back to you too. Lena's in as well. Hello, Lena Van Deventer.
Hello.
How's tricks in the gaming world?
Excellent,
been exciting?
Thank you. Very exciting.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Well, I've got lots to hear about tonight too.
Absolutely.
Graham.
Andrew.
What's happening?
Well, lots and lots of things have been happening while you guys have been away and I've been in the studio pressing play.
You've done an excellent job, Graham. You've come in every week, you've put a disc in and pressed the play button.
And thanks drunk coffee and Coke
fort.
And all that sort of thing. Yeah, thank
yeah,
you.
Absolutely.
I couldn't put it better myself. Anyway, it's good to be back in your ears on the radio.
There's been so many things over the break that we've been itching to get on air and talk about.
It's all good. All good. Lots of things. SOPA? Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
In the United States.
Yep.
Yeah, well, Optus. All sorts of things here. Ah, where
THQ?
Do we?
What about the AFL and the NRL and Telstra?
Hence the reason for Optus. Yes,
that was Optus. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought you were talking about my Optus. Oh, there's my.
Oh,
Optus.
No, there's your Optus
yeah,
as well.
Yeah.
Oh, look, you know. Hey, one thing that I did puzzle me during the course of the week. I was at a market on Saturday with my family, and they were this magic guy had a Rubik's cube. Do you reckon a Rubik's Cube would ever have the take-up that it does today, that it did back when it first came out some 15, 20 years ago, that it does today, before the internet?
I think so.
Do you reckon people would sit there and do the roly-poly thing? And,
yeah, I think so.
Or do you reckon they'd get online and, this is too hard?
Yeah, you'd have a virtual Rubik's Cube. You'd have the Rubik's Cube
that's
app
right.
for the iPhone, yeah.
And you jump on Google and you type in Rubik's Cube cheats and hit enter.
Yeah.
And you have it solved.
It's different. Yeah. We're in a different time now, aren't we?
I'm surprised Lena even knows what a Rubik's Cube is.
I'm not that young. I'm young, but I'm not that young. No, I had a Rubik's Cube. I pulled all the stickers off. And replaced them and moved them around.
Is that how you got... See, now she's showing how... That's her cheat, you see. That was peel all the red stickers off and put them where on a row. Yep.
That is a real insight into a twisted, wrong-thinking mind.
I'm competitive.
Absolutely.
And my neighbour was doing it too.
Through all the games that she does.
I had to beat him, yeah.
chat.techtalkradio.com.au is where you come to listen and chat and talk to everybody else. Haven't you forgotten to do that thing, haven't you?
I've forgotten to do a lot of things. I was still trying to figure out how to put my phone on silent.
You've got to get into the rut again, don't we?
I know.
I've got two screens here now and lots more buttons to press. I'm not quite sure how this is going to work.
Well, that can only go badly, can't it?
No.
Hopefully it's streamlined a little
bit. I'm looking at the chat as we type at the moment. Hey, look.
It's almost just like two computers per person in this studio.
It's a worry, isn't it? But you know the thing about the chat? It's as if we've never left. Have you seen it? They're all back.
Yay.
Hello, everybody in the chat room.
We missed you.
Did you go home, you people, or have you just stayed logged in for 8 weeks?
I reckon they have. Warlocks
there.
There
were tumbleweeds going through the chat during the summer series.
That's a bit sad. It was a bit quiet, was it?
Well, we all had things to do, didn't we? How was your Christmas, by the way? Did you get any good toys, Dr. Ron, or any... That's a collective question to all of you.
To the collective Dr. Rons.
Yeah.
I got a remote control tarantula.
Ugh.
That was awesome from my father. That was very exciting.
What does your puppy dog think of that?
She sort of just sniffed it and went, and walked off. She wasn't... didn't really care. A bit ho-hum.
She wanted it in Bluetooth?
She did. She wanted a Bluetooth version, not a UHF radio version. You really are a geek.
So, pray tell, what prompted your father? Hello, Yak, if you're listening.
Hi, Yak. I don't know if he's in there.
Give you said tarantula.
I'm not sure. I think he just saw it and thought, I know somebody who'd like that. He wanted me to hide it under the kitchen cupboards and wait for visitors to come over.
Are you one of these people that just are too hard to buy for at Christmas time?
Maybe. I might be, yeah.
I think a lot of technologically savvy people are quite hard to buy for, because if we see something we like, we just kind of grab it. We don't really, hang around and wait.
Well, there's probably pressure there to buy exactly the right thing and the right one.
That's the other thing I was going to say, that people won't... are hesitant to buy tech things because you have the fear of getting the wrong tech thing.
Yeah, they don't want to get the wrong
one. So you wouldn't want to accidentally buy a cheap Android tablet for an Apple fanboy.
Mm. I used to ask Mum for a certain game every Christmas, and she'd just go get some other game because it was a game. No, I want this one. I don't want that one.
Does your mother listen to the show, by the chance?
No.
Oh, okay. You're right.
She knows that note.
Or picking up on what Graeme said, you wouldn't just want to go and buy a cheap Android tablet.
No.
Evidently not. No. Dr. Ron, would you?
There's a story in
that. Not liking yours, are you?
Can I just say one thing that happened over the holidays, which was a lot of fun? We all upgraded our Android phones. We had a big rooting session.
Lena, just turn your heads, your earphones down for 30 seconds. This won't interest you at all.
It was good. Graeme had worked out how to go to the next level because Telstra and all the phone carriers wouldn't give you the next version of Android for your phone because why would they? Because they want you to go buy a new one. But we decided, thanks to Graeme's foresight and research, and he did it before we did, so we knew it would work. We all got together one night and went up, and we haven't looked back. Have we?
Well, I'm glad to hear that, because I haven't really spoken to you since we did that, because we've been going our separate ways over Christmas.
Phones haven't worked. We haven't been able to make calls or do anything.
we all had HTC Desires, the original Desire.
On Telstra?
On Telstra with the HTC Telstraized software.
Yes, it's gone now.
Which was Android 2.2. And we've all gone to Android 2.3, and for a minor upgrade, it's a major upgrade.
It was. And it lets you do things now which frees up memory in the phone. So it actually works properly without having the all of the stuff that Telstra puts
that
on
was,
there.
That
the
was the primary,
they're all guilty of it.
That was a primary driver for me upgrading it. Every time I downloaded an app, it would say I was out of memory and I had to do something and I had to remove an old app or something like that. So, yeah, but moving was really easy, and Google made it easier, of course, because all my stuff, all my contacts and email and all my important stuff was on Google.
Yep.
The only thing I really had to back up was my SMSs.
Yeah. And that was good. Just turn the phone on, all your contacts are back again. You go, oh, how does that work? Thank you, Google.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And all my contacts, email, everything came back. And in your cases, even your apps came back through Google remembering your purchases
through
the
dashboard
in the app store.
The Android market.
Yeah, log into your Google account, go to dashboard, look at your device, and go download. And next thing you know, it's all back on your phone. All you got to do is drag the apps from the from your app section onto your desktop, and you're done.
And I use it as an opportunity because I had two app market accounts and two Google accounts in general, because I had my Gmail account, and I had my Google Apps account. And originally, my Google Apps account wouldn't do a lot of things because they had this restriction that they've now fixed in a lot of cases.
So you can use Google Plus now, too.
So now, yeah, that's right. So now I can use my Google Apps account as my main account for everything, including the market and all those sorts of things.
So you consolidated.
And everything's been consolidated, yes, which is really great.
No, it's very good. No, I haven't looked back since I put version 2.3 on my HTC Desire. It's been working really, really well. I've noticed the speed improvement.
George has put 2.3 on her Samsung Galaxy Tab. World of difference in the performance is still crap, though. Oh, still crap OS, though, she sort of says.
Oh, okay. Still crap OS, okay.
I think she's an Apple user. Just
she might be another one of these fanboy girls things.
And well, what was the operating system that you guys put on your phones last week?
We were on 2.2, mm-hmm.
Android 2.2,
and now we're on Android, a flavour of 2.3.
And what's the very latest OS available that anyone can get?
Well, skip forward one version. Don't worry about Honeycomb, which is just for tablets.
Version 3, which is for tablets. Yep.
Jump to version 4, which is Ice Cream Sandwich, but we haven't actually seen that yet.
No.
Haven't seen it in the wild.
No. Not in the wild.
No.
The people that make these custom ROMs are in the development stages with ICS at the moment, so presumably we'll see those down the track.
Primal's got 403.
That's Ice Cream Sandwich.
That's Ice Cream Sandwich.
Primal's
a bit of
he's an Android head. He loves his Android stuff.
Go Primal.
He does.
He eats it, drinks it, breathes it, sleeps it. So
now, one thing I should say is that the ROMs we got, you can get all sorts of different ROMs that, you know, people out there put a whole
heap
of things
ROM,
together.
What's a ROM, Graham?
It's the programming inside the phone.
It's where you put the program.
It's where you put the program inside the phone. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And in the old days, of course, you would have changed a physical ROM in like a terminal or something like that.
Whoa.
These days, you just have to reprogram it.
Yeah. I'm only familiar
really
with them in terms of emulators.
Yeah. a ROM is a chip, but now you can program them so you don't have to physically change them.
There are people out there going, what the hell are they talking about?
The ones we used were specifically Australianized. These are people that have taken the...
Yes, Warlock, I will in a minute.
The well-known ROMs that have been made internationally. Australianise them so that they use Australian terminology and have things like the Telstra settings for your mobile network and all that preset.
Yep.
And basically made an Australian version of the ROM. So
it was very good, wasn't it?
It everything just worked for us. It was absolutely brilliant. The place we got there, is that what Android, what Warlock was asking? Oh, no, he's saying no.
Warlock's saying to do this. There you go, Warlock. That's just
nerd alert! Nerd alert!
That's for talking about ROMs, is it?
Yeah, that's for talking about... I don't know. Anyway.
We're only 25 minutes into the first program of the year, and we've got nerd alerts going off.
And I've been nerd alerted already. All right, that's fair. It's a fair cop.
That's a record.
Scoreboard.
That's
got
to be a record.
What I was going to say is if anyone's...
He's been holding it in for months. Let him have it.
Okay, all right, it's gone.
This is good advice. This is not nerd alerty stuff. If anyone wants to do this with their Desire or similar phone, what I would recommend is go to this website where you can all the instructions on how to do it are there. The website is roms-au.com. Okay, roms.roms-au.com.
Android's now bigger than iOS.
Yes.
By what definition?
Cop that, Lena lady.
It's installed on more devices.
There's more devices worldwide running it now than iOS.
Well, that makes sense. There's a billion different hardware devices running that particular operating system.
That's true.
That's lots. Yes.
Yeah. So, same situation. Same situation as there's...
It's
yeah.
just an observation.
But the whole take that Lena lady was a bit...
Oh, well, that was inferred. You read into that beautifully.
Did I say that out loud?
You did.
Damn.
Gotcha.
Stop talking to myself while the microphone's
Tonight's
up.
Edition of Tech Talk Radio is powered by Cake. My lovely 9-year-old daughter, Georgie, has whipped up some lovely little green things with TTR and chocolate on the front. So we'll
have
indulge.
We twig picked those?
Yes, they've been twig picked.
Oh, good.
So we're going to do that. So thank you, Georgie. And school went back today, and she got her new
laptop.
Laptop.
Fantastic.
Netbooky thing, thanks to
you took umbrage with at the end of last year.
It's come a little bit different than I expected. It actually runs Windows 7, which is good, but that's about as much as I've looked at. Nice little Lenovo thing. George is complaining it's very heavy. Well, that's Lenovo for you. They're not well solid built sort of things. So she's now sitting at home having a great time putting all of her programs on her school computer that she do, changing the desktop, doing what 9-year-olds do. It's great, hey?
Very good.
And also the cakes. Thank you very much. Also to Emily, who also I think had something to do with the icing. I'm pretty sure.
Thank you for
it was a very quick
makers.
In and out tonight. So there you go. There's my Cheerios for the day. All done. All dusted. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb.
As if there was any doubt.
No, we've been going for 8 years now. This is our eighth year.
This is our eighth year
on the wireless and on the pod. Yeah.
We started before podcasting, and about halfway through the first second year, we put it up as a podcast.
Yeah, it was a bit like that. What do we do, Dr. Ron? We still haven't quite worked it out. Just for those people that have come across us and gone, what is this show? We do this the first episode of every year, by the way.
We used to sit around like this and talk over cups of coffee and have a chimwag. And one day Andrew said, why don't we do this in front of microphones as a radio program?
Yep.
And we said, nah, it'd never work. But they keep inviting us back. Here we are. Yeah.
Well, and I'm now more than regular on ABC Radio talking about the same stuff.
Which is good.
Which is a bit of fun. For those of you listening in other parts of the world, you'll get tweets from me from time to time. You should follow us on Twitter. We've got all sorts of things. We've even got a forum.
Ask me about the forum.
Dr. Ron, you're responsible for the forum. This is forum.techtalkradio.com.au. What happens there? And does it work now?
Of course it works.
Oh, good.
Why wouldn't it work?
I don't know. It's just a lot of emails that have gone across my desktop in the course of the breakaway.
With cursing and swearing. And
yeah.
Yeah. No, it's working well now. It's been upgraded to the latest version.
What can you do there?
PHPBB. Take the finger off the nerd alert button. I won't get
I haven't. I've just
that.
Got my mouse, my cord. We're computerized in here now. I've got buttons to push. I mean, mouses to click.
The forum is a place where you can go if you're not listening live and you want to look at show notes from previous shows or maybe look at the show notes from a podcast that you've just heard. You can participate with other forum users. You can interact with everybody in the community. You can make comments about programs. You can ask for help. You can send people messages. You can put funny things there.
I love funny things.
Yeah, we all love the funny things on the forum, yep.
And if you're familiar with like the whole PHP bulletin board or web-based bulletin board concept,
everyone's come across it at one stage, haven't they, when they're surfing of the net. When you search in a help for this problem, chances are it takes you to a thread in one of those chat rooms, doesn't it?
A thread in a forum or a bulletin board, that's right.
Now, DNSU on the chat, which is the opposite of the forum, says, can we register now?
Yes.
Yes, you can, Dean. Yes, you can. You can register now.
Fantastic.
It's a manual approval process, the little elves told me.
It is, and I'm doing that specifically to stop all the spammers. I'm trying to find a robust, reliable anti-spam system.
Because we used to have CAPTCHA, which is where you type in those funny words on the bottom of the screen.
You know what?
I couldn't, you can't read anyway.
I couldn't read 2/3 or 3/4 of those. I would look at them and I'd think, I think that's a C, but it might be a 0, but it might be an H.
Yeah, that's the problem I have with those now, is that, you go through 10 or 15 of them before you find one that you can get right.
They're too obscure, aren't they?
Far too obscure, far too difficult.
Well, that's good.
So I've taken that away, and what we do on a daily basis is look at all the new applications. We delete 49 out of 50, and the one legitimate one will approve. So
unfortunately, you can't get on and register and immediately start posting. You have to register and then wait for an approval.
I reckon...
Register and send Dr. Ron an email. I'm sure you'd be able to work it out.
So what I'd recommend to all the users, get on the forum, register. If you're listening on the podcast or on one of the community radio stations around the country that take the program, anyone who's not listening live on a Monday night, register on the forum so that when you need to get on and comment or ask a question, you've got your account already there set to go.
Yeah, you can use email to talk to us too.
Absolutely.
Another thing with that CAPTCHA thing that I find helps, because I find it really hard to understand too sometimes, click on the audio version and get it read to you.
Really? Does that work?
Yeah, sometimes I find it works.
No, that's just as hard to understand as the...
Really? Yeah. I find it.
Don't they have
a bit
birds
easier?
Chirping in the background and strange things? So that
yeah, and other conversations yeah, going on, and I've people you know blah, 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 all in the background.
Yeah.
That's worth a shot.
The other important point is that you can go there anonymously. You can read and read and read everything if you'd like to, yep. But registration gives you the ability to post and to respond and to reply and send and messages.
Take part in the discussions.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or to start new discussions, yeah.
And if you want to do it in real time, chat.techtalkradio.com.au. Like, there's a plethora of people there doing yeah. right at
and
this
that's
very
important.
Moment.
There's the chat system, which is great for people listening on the radio station where we go out live, which is 3WBC in Melbourne. And the people that are listening on the internet live on a Monday night, 8 o'clock Eastern Australian time.
Yep.
But there's a lot of people who don't listen at that time who listen on podcasts. There's thousands that listen on the podcast.
Absolutely.
There's tens of thousands or more that must be listening on other radio stations around the country.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly hundreds of thousands, for all I know.
Cisco sends his apologies from the United States tonight. He sent a
dreadfully thing early in the morning over there.
Yeah, he is. He had to get up early, so he couldn't hang in there tonight and listen to us live.
Yeah,
so, hi, Cisco.
We understand. Yeah. We know it's a problem for the US listeners. But yeah, if you're not listening to us live when we go to air, if you're listening on a relay station or on the podcast, forum's the place to go to take part in a lively discussion.
Correct. I think we're on Fridays on the CBAA network. You might hear us anywhere. You're walking through the shopping centre somewhere. You're listening to us in the local supermarket. Scary, really, isn't it?
That's fantastic.
All right. That's a little bit about the show. Have I missed anything? Says he, looking at Dr. Ron.
I don't think so. We'll fill in the blanks as we go along if you've missed anything.
I think 8 years we've explained the forum, we've explained chat. What do we do on the show? We try and sort of talk about
general... We talk about technology and the gadgetry and the technological aspects of life.
Yep.
And how
the day-to-day usage of little eye gadgets and...
Everything from day-to-day usage to the politics and things on that go around the new technologies that's coming.
What
and
it means.
How to deal with things. How to get the best out of technology. How, you know, if you've got a new gadget, you know, or a new gadget comes out, we'll talk about how to use it best and how it can best be integrated into your life and how you can have it not be a problem.
And sometimes we serve as a cautionary tale.
Sometimes, yeah.
But by the products we buy.
We do.
Stop bringing up the Android tablet thing.
And traditionally ends up in fisticuffs in the car park around about 10 o'clock in the evening.
Yep. Stop poking the sleeping bear.
The angry bear with a stick.
Yeah.
We do try to demystify things a bit. So although we talk geeky at times, and Andrew will do that nerd alert thing that he did earlier when I...
Oh, you mean this? That... See, we're automated. I've got computers now.
You put sugar in the studio everything goes off the rails.
Absolutely.
Deal with you later, McComb. But we do try to make sense of things and to explain the whys and the stuff that'll help it make sense to people who aren't the kind of gadget nerds that we are.
Oh, okay. Georgia's got a complaint in the chat there, Dr. Ryan. Have you seen her complaint?
I have seen her complaint. Sorry, Georgia. I can fix that. I can turn that off. She's complaining that the forum... Yes, a security issue about the forum, but I can take that...
Sorry, wrong button.
Take that offline and have a chat to her about that. She's got some concerns.
Yeah. She told me there were going to be no more wrong buttons this year.
No, I'm having a lot of fun. I've got lots of buttons to push over here. It's great.
He's fantastic.
I should twit pick the desk here. I'll do that during our first break.
He's
and
got
everyone
three
can see what's
computers,
going on.
Ladies and gentlemen, all connected to the mixing desk in some fashion or other.
Absolutely. All right, this is Tech Talk. Look at the time already. It's nearly time to roll a closer. We have a regular segment on this program where we encourage people to send us emails and we talk about their dilemmas on air. Normally, we call it Coro. This year, it's slightly different.
Your say on Tech Talk Radio.
Come and have your say, Tech Talk Radio, on Tech Talk Radio. And the address is feedback@techtalkradio.com.au. That's the best email address to use. We also have a contact form on our website.
Bazinga.
And you can, thanks Sheldon, and you can guess what the, who gave him all those buttons?
Yeah.
I don't know, but somebody needs to take them off him.
We'll talk about this after the program.
No more sugar for you.
Andy B, via the Tech Talk Radio feedback address, says, hi TTR gents, brackets, and ladies where appropriate, brackets.
Lena's never appropriate.
Aww.
What, an appropriate
I'm
lady?
I'm handy for something.
Come on, we'll get more emails from that.
No.
Carry on, Dr.
I'm plenty appropriate.
Yes, I'm sorry, Lena. Go on.
Are you
carry
feeling
on.
Marginalised yet?
No.
Oh, we're not doing that job then.
Welcome back for 2012.
I haven't been marginalised for months.
Sorry. Because you haven't been in here for months. It was great to catch up and finally meet you all at the end of the year shindig last year. It was, Andy. It was good to meet you as well. A week ago, I received an email purporting to be from Telstra, telling me that my account was about to be suspended and I should make payment immediately. Clicking the link in the email, I was taken to a page to make payment. After putting in my credit card details... Oh. With his finger hovering over the submit button.
Who is this? Who did this?
Andy B. And Andy's
Andy, you're in the chat room. You should know room, better.
Naughty.
I realised that the address the email had been sent to was not registered with Telstra, and it was obviously a scam. I wasn't suspicious initially because I knew my Telstra account was overdue and I had email alerts activated, so I could be excused for thinking it was legitimate. Regardless, it's fair warning for all out there to be careful. Cheers, Andy.
Yep. The answer to that is never ever click on a link in an email, okay? Because the actual link underlying can be different to the text they show you. They could show you www.telstra.com as the link it's going to, when what it could actually take you to is somewhere else. Plus, you never trust them anyway. So, no, it's okay if you get an alert from Telstra or from your bank or whatever by email. It's fine to read it, but when you come to logging in to look at your account details, always go to the site, type the address yourself. So,
good tip.
Don't trust emails. Don't even trust your favourites because a virus might have got in there and changed them.
Modified your favourites. Yeah.
So, no, you type www.telstra.com or, you know, www.westpac.com.au or whoever it might happen to be.
And then click on the buttons and follow the links on the webpage for payments and so on.
Yep, they usually make it quite straightforward to find.
Andy, at least you picked up on it. That's good. It's a good cautionary tale.
But having put your numbers in, I hope you didn't click submit. If you did click submit, then make sure you do go and cancel that credit card and get a new number issued.
Oz Governor via the Tech Talk contact form says...
Hi, Oz.
Hi, crew. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Are we a crew?
If you like, collective down of Tech Talk panelists is a crew.
A bunch of hip-hop dancers.
Yeah, rolling with the Tech Talk crew. Yo, what it is. Yep. Over the Christmas break, I decided to do a thorough clean-out of the three tech boxes I had, which were cluttered full of old gadgets and countless power supplies and cables. How come Oz has only got three? Does he mean three rooms of tech boxes?
No, I've seen your rooms.
Mean that, surely. Must be three rooms.
How could you limit your gadgets to three boxes?
We've got a hard rubbish collection coming out. That reminds me.
Maybe three storage boxes, like self-storage.
Oh, that's what he'll mean.
Yeah.
I got rid of lots of stuff. However, a question formed in my mind. Just how old does something get before it becomes a classic that must be preserved at all costs? Or conversely, has become such an embarrassment it needs to be disposed of in a brown paper bag so no one sees it?
I've always wanted an 8-track player. on that topic.
Go to Northcote and Fitzroy, and if the hipsters have them, it's cool.
It's
something that people want.
What if the hipsters put them out in their hard rubbish?
Well, then it's not cool.
Hard rubbish, for those wondering what that is.
It's alternative to alternative.
Instead of taking stuff to the tip here, we put it out on the nature strip and the council will come and pick it all up. That's what hard rubbish is here, if you're wondering. Oh, if you're listening further afield.
Listening in the States or in Europe or something, you're wondering
Yeah, that's what hard rubbish is here.
Let's explain the vernacular. So it turns out, says Oz, I still had a genuine US Robotics Palm Pilot version 1. Yep, the very first model sold. Now, I'm sure most aging power users had a Palm Pilot at some point before smartphones took over. It still works, so I thought maybe you could put the theory to the test. I'm happy to donate it to whoever out there has nominated themselves as a curator of old IT tech in exchange for a $5 donation to the Red Cross charity. Let me know if you're interested.
Mm.
Cheers, Oz.
Mm.
Thanks, Oz. That's very kind.
I think the very first iPod would be a collector's item because the one that we first got here, I think, was Gen 3, third gen or second gen. So the very first one was years and years and years and years previously that no one really knew about.
Ah.
I think that would be one that would be quite, considering the effect the iPods had on tech now and music now.
Well, I had a Palm 3C, which was, I think, was the first colour one.
Ooh. Oh, okay. I had one of a similar vintage that wasn't colour and might have been a Palm 3. Yeah.
And they had a little writing
but
window.
But I think by the time I had them, they weren't branded US Robotics.
No, mine was branded Palm.
Yeah.
It had the little area that you write on with the stylus.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then the graffiti language. Remember graffiti language?
I remember the graffiti language,
and the K was like that, little squiggle. It was like shorthand, wasn't it? And a T was a angle like that.
Yeah.
Doctor, this is great for radio. Dr. Ron's making squiggles in the air. Thanks, Oz. Good on you. We'll let you know if we hear from any of our listeners who might be interested in acquiring your device. Lewis, via the Tech Talk contact form, says, I should yell because it's in capitals, but I won't yell.
Don't
hello,
yell.
Hello, Tech Talk Radio Tech Talkers.
Hi.
That's us. Hello.
Hello, Lewis.
I've heard you read a lot of feedback emails from long-time listeners, but rarely hear from new listeners. I am that so-called newbie listener, and he spelled it correctly with the two zeros. I only started listening to you guys after Christmas last year when I Googled Tech Podcast Australia and was, quote, feeling lucky, quote. I've been searching far and wide for an Australian-based tech show. I'm a uni student. I study medicine. I have a keen interest in tech. I had a really slack summer break, which is where Tech Talk Radio became my go-to source of entertainment. The first app I listened to was the passing of Steve Jobs, sad subject, but well covered by the team. A few more podcasts later, I found myself very much entertained and informed by you guys. So I went back to the first episode of 2011, the previous summer series, downloaded all 52 podcasts, and I've listened to them all for the last month or so.
Well done.
Must be over us. Gee whiz.
Well done.
Lewis, you'll need counselling or... Don't send us your psychotherapy bills. We don't want to know. This is my initial impression. Oh, these are my initial impressions of the show after podcasting all of 2011. One, Andrew brings some order to the panel to keep everyone on topic.
See, Graham?
Whipcracker.
Point two, Dr. Ron and Graham. That's us.
That's us.
Stick together. Bring a wealth of tech knowledge to dig deep into those hard-hitting topics. Hard-hitting, cutting-edge.
Hard-hitting. That's
us. You apparently come in a set as well.
We do.
Hmm. Yep.
Adam's view from the couch is both eye-opening and entertaining.
Hopefully we get to that tonight.
What?
Look
what
at the time?
Someone's missing.
Right? Lena brackets my fav brackets.
Oh, my fav, you've done it.
My fav brings energy and bubbliness
and
to the male-dominated panel. Ha ha! As well as covering the topic I love the most: games.
Well done.
Cheers, Lewis.
You're my favourite of 2011.
Already
2012. Yes, 2012.
It's all right. She goes through them quickly. We'll have another one next week.
Thanks, Lewis. It's good.
Thanks, Lewis.
Glad
welcome
you've enjoyed
aboard
the program. And last but not least, long-time listener TD via the contact form says, hi,
he's,
crew.
I think he's in the chat. Did I see a TD in there?
Someone else called us a crew. We're going to have to start, like...
got to stop dance fighting.
Throwing gang signs and stuff. Just a quick welcome back message and let you know I'm really looking forward to the 2012 season. I survived the break with moderate doses of the summer series. Pain persisted. I saw my doctor, interspersed with some downloads from Leo Laporte's shows. In my humble opinion, whilst Leo is informative and mildly amusing, nothing beats Tech Talk Radio.
Oh, well done.
Hey. TD.
Checks in the mail.
Checks in the mail. Keep up the great work. Thanks, TD. If you want to communicate with us, the best way to do it is via email, feedback@techtalkradio.com.au.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
Now, before we get on to other things like newsy items that happened during the course of the week, Dr. Ron, this was a great source of entertainment to me during the course of the summer break, was your altercation with an Optus help desk.
Oh, dear.
Now,
oh, no.
If I can just tell the listeners a little bit about the dilemma, your father is an Optus customer.
Yes, he is.
He had a mailbox issue. He couldn't send mail.
Couldn't send email.
Yeah, so...
it's pretty simple.
The diligent son popped around to help him out.
I said, hi, how's it going? He said, all right, it's not good. I can't send email.
All right.
My and father lives so much, on email.
It's not so much the technicalities behind what was going on. It was the process. Do tell.
There are a couple of very quick diagnostic things you can do to diagnose a problem such as this. And I don't want to get nerd alerted, but what I did was I tried to connect manually to their mail server. And I did connect to their mail server, but I got a message back from the Optus mail server that said, not accepting messages at this time. I thought, oh, it's fair enough. So I could Telnet, Graham. I could Telnet into their port 25, and the mail server said, not accepting messages, I'm sorry.
So that's a pretty open and shut case of what was going on with
the mail
server.
To be really nerdy, technically you're not telnetting. You're
hang on.
You're right. I'm talking
you're
SMTP.
You're manually SMTPing.
Correct. Yes.
SMPT, simple mail transfer protocol.
Exactly. I googled the words Optus outage information and thought, oh, there'll be an Optus webpage somewhere. It'll say, hey, if you're inquiring about email outages, yeah, we're aware of it. It's going to be back up in an hour. We've got a problem at the moment or something. That's all
I
wanted to know.
There should be a service status page.
Exactly. Exactly right. No such luck. So,
do they have one?
Well, I found that they do. I asked the gentleman who was the help desk person, and he said, no, there is none. I can't refer you to one because one doesn't exist. But I've subsequently found one. I then spent about the next 50 minutes of my life talking to a gentleman in Mumbai. I know he was in Mumbai because I asked him and he told me that's where he was. He started off by suggesting I delete all my mail in Outlook, then restarting Outlook. And I said, no, I'm a technical person. Let me explain what the problem is and what I've done. I'm just wanting to know if you have an outage and if there is an outage that you're aware of, how long it's going to be. I can't possibly be the first person in the world to be reporting this as a problem. He said, no, there's no problems. Delete all your mail.
What?
I said, no, we're not going to be deleting any mail today. No. He said, all right, well, let's create a new account in Outlook. That'll fix the problem. I said, no, that won't fix the problem. But we did anyway, just to appease him.
You were humouring him.
I was. He said, I know what I'll do. I'll change the password on your father's account. That'll fix it. I said, no, that won't fix it. We're not using passwords for anything. We don't use passwords when we send email. He said, but he did anyway.
Okay.
You go.
You were wondering, sometimes you do.
Sometimes you do. Yeah, you're right. Yep. In this setup, we weren't, but yeah, sometimes you do. Anyway, that didn't fix the problem. He said, I know what we'll do. We'll delete all the cookies in your browser history. That'll fix it.
Said, in your browser?
No. Yeah. I said, no, you're not listening to me. I've explained the problem. It's nothing to do with browsers or cookies. But I did that anyway. Didn't fix the problem, obviously. I asked him if I had the right mail server name. He said, yes, I did. I asked him if...
Didn't you ask him if he had a client to check in manually or something?
I asked
him...
Like
you did?
Yeah, and he said, no, he couldn't check it from there. He couldn't see the mail server from there, from his... Help desk.
He couldn't see a mail server that belonged to the company.
But he said that was normal. He said he wouldn't expect to be able to.
Oh, you're kidding.
No.
Hello, Optus. Listen up.
Then he asked me about 40 minutes into the call, can I just check that you've got access to the internet? We're just going to do some tests to make sure you're on the internet.
How did you test that?
Oh, well, I didn't test it. I explained to him. I took a deep breath and I said, listen to me very, very carefully. And he said, it's all right.
I'm Dr. Ron from Tech Talk Radio.
No, you don't do name dropping.
Do you know who I am? No, I didn't do that. Anyway, I ended up just saying, look, you can't help me. And I hung up. I tweeted about this. I was tweeting, I think, as I was dealing with him. And
yeah, the parallel tweets to another Optus help desk.
That's right, yes. And then it just so happened that the Optus social media team were monitoring, obviously, the Twitter timeline.
Yeah.
And they saw the word Optus in my tweets. And they replied to me, I'm reading off the tweet because it's in my blog. They said, hey, Ron, it's something we're aware of. Our guys are working on it right now. Try again in a little while. Let us know how it goes.
Right.
And that was the response you wanted initially,
wasn't
it?
That's all I wanted. I didn't want to waste 50 minutes with this clown.
And lose all your emails and lose all your cookies and lose all your, yeah.
Which is what potentially could have happened if I wasn't a semi-technical, semi-dangerous person. If I'd just been someone who had no understanding of what was going on and I'd followed their instructions, I would have lost all my email.
Yeah. And that's just wrong, Optus. That's just evil doing that.
It's appalling. It's really, really bad. So what I learned from the experience was, look, social media is going to be my first point of call for any technical support inquiry with Optus in the future. I'm actively discouraging people from becoming Optus internet customers. And I'm actively encouraging...
Really?
Yeah, of course I am. Because if they've got that level of technical support, Andrew, and that's the best they can possibly
this
do...
This is technical support that has no clue, not the slightest inkling of how things work. Not even something as basic as SMTP email. If they're that clueless, they should not be answering the phone.
It's appalling. It really is bad. And I'm actively encouraging existing Optus customers, people who I know, friends and family, to churn.
Mm.
You can't possibly... have service like that in this day and age from an ISP. It's atrocious.
I must admit, I had a similar experience in the early, shortly after we finished, late last year. I had an issue with Telstra, with my mobile data, and I rang them up. And you know what the moron on the help desk at Telstra asked me?
What did he ask
Asked
you?
Me a question. She said, what is an APN?
Oh, you're kidding.
She asked me that. I'm ringing the Telstra data help desk and trying to connect, and I tell her I'm connecting to this APN, is that right? And she said, what's an APN?
Yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
Level one support needs to be lifted a little bit, doesn't it? Right across
they
the board.
They need to have an inkling, just the slightest hint of a clue as to how the system works.
Yeah.
And quite clearly this man didn't. Look, all I can say is, look, well done to the social media team.
Lucky we weren't on air at the time, otherwise we'd do a whole show on it.
Oh, absolutely. Well done to the social media team for two things. One, taking an active interest in what was happening and tweets mentioning Optus and following what was going on in the world. And two, being able to respond in a timely manner once they'd seen my tweet and give me the information I needed. So That's the only good thing I got out of the whole experience.
Now, okay. What you should have done instead of hanging up was demand to speak to that help desk operator's supervisor and explain to the supervisor that it wasn't good enough that this person didn't understand SMTP, didn't understand a basic mail protocol.
Yeah, pretty bad, pretty disappointing. Very disappointing.
All right. Well, I'm just going to add a bit more to the equation here. Today I sent out a tweet. I'm a business customer with Telstra. Went to log in to see my usage on my mobile phone plans, and I was greeted with a message saying that information on this web page may be 6 weeks out of date. 6 weeks.
That's really handy for a usage now, page.
Now, can I ask you, on Twitter, were you asking the rhetorical question, Telstra, or were you specifically directing that to Telstra?
You saw my tweet.
I did, because they replied to you.
I haven't checked that. I must go and check my I'm a bit slack on that. I will go and check out my response very shortly. But I just thought, that's amazing, because a telephone plan gets charged monthly, and if you want to see how close you are to the edge of your cap, you have to wait 6 weeks. Now, excuse my maths, but I would have thought you would have finished the month and moved on. So bill shock is an inevitable issue if you weren't getting too gung-ho. But anyway, see, they're all as bad as each other, aren't they? We just have to live with the devil that we know rather than the devil that we don't know.
Absolutely.
In more ways than one.
All now,
right. Leanne, how was your holiday, just briefly? Did you have a good one?
I did. I didn't get mad at any telcos.
No, but you've got... you're moving house.
I am.
Now, you're trying to keep all the telcos on side at the moment.
I am. They're all lovely, yeah. And I need help.
Now, you were saying off air before that you're taking... you're moving literally... Is it the same exchange?
The same exchange.
Same telephone exchange and your internet.
We're trying to get the internet hooked up at the new house.
Yeah.
And it's the same exchange, and we want naked DSL, which we have.
So that's that's internet without a phone number?
Yes. We like to keep that because we had a VoIP phone. We've gotten rid of that. We're going to get a new one eventually. When someone can make a great piece of hardware for that, that'd be awesome. The thing that they're saying is going to happen, though, is once they pull the port out, because there's no ports available.
So you have no ports for your ISP. That's where you actually connect to the internet from your phone system into their phone system. That's called a port.
Yeah. So when they pull the port out, that will be an open port that we can use in the new house. But we have to pull out that same port from our current account using that one, the current house, and then quickly put it in.
Jump it across
to
a new phone number.
Which we just found out, which is good.
So now you were saying that one man comes to disconnect it and goes away, and then another man comes to reconnect it. What happens in the moments between?
I'm going
to
be standing outside the exchange, arms folded.
You should be standing outside the exchange with cupcakes and apple cider.
Yeah.
And a baseball bat.
At people to distract them so that they don't go in. I'm just really hoping we can get that back again, especially because our plan's grandfathered.
So I
don't know whether we will be able to switch it and have the same sort of plan that we've got now.
In other words, the plan you've got is a plan that they've ended and don't offer to new customers anymore, but you're allowed to keep it.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're an existing customer.
So I'm hoping we still get to keep it.
Good. You're not moving too far.
No, we're 1.7 kilometres away from the old house in the new house.
And why do you have to change the phone number?
That's a good question, Dr. Ron. Why?
I don't know. I don't want to change my phone number. Is there a way I don't have to?
Yes, there is.
Jump on Twitter.
Request that.
Ooh.
So you stick with us. You'll learn, learn stuff.
Yeah, awesome. I'll do that.
Very good.
Mind you, I moved a short distance once too, and I had to change my phone number.
You moved across the boundary.
Correct. I was right on the exchange boundary. Yeah.
That was why you have really, really slow internet speeds? Because you're right on the boundary?
Yeah, I was about 300 metres from the telephone exchange, and now I'm about 2 kilometres from the telephone
and
exchange.
And the rest.
I'm getting closer to the exchange with the move, so that's exciting. Right?
Is that your method to your madness? Get close to Telstra.
Get close to the exchange. Yeah,
I just want to say one last thing about social media and help desks. If you really want to laugh about how not to use social media, have a look at the TomTom Australia Twitter feed.
Ooh, at TomTom
AU. Really good customer service. Just go there and have a look.
Okay, that's good. I think that, as Sheldon says, is there some sarcasm in that, Graham?
Maybe.
Yeah, exactly. Primal in the chat says, if you're on a naked DSL at the current house, you should, in capital letters, be able to transfer the port immediately during lines to transfer Lena.
Oh, good. Excellent.
I think Primal has inside information when it comes to that, too. I could be wrong, but I think he does.
If you could do it for me, that'd be great.
Absolutely. This is Tech Talk Radio. We're going to have some cupcakes, and we'll be back shortly.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Good Google has opted out of Germany now.
But that's not the whole problem.
Lino, help us. You need to come back. All is forgiven.
Yeah, what do you want? I can't deal with this now.
Absolutely.
That's very wrong.
It's very rude.
And obviously pretty good on the batteries too.
Not happy, Jan.
Oh, well. You have nothing here which does not have an apple on it.
That's the way I like it.
Couldn't even tell whether you were male or female.
No. Frankly, no.
Have you worked out the five-finger fondle yet?
I hate toolbars on browsers.
Yes.
That really drives me insane.
Yes.
That lacks couth as well.
That lacks complete couth.
Graham took umbrage during the week with a ranking system that I developed on the forum.
Should have known that was coming.
A good cabler is worth their weight in gold.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Apple, shall we?
Yay.
Oh, Apple scandal.
Yeah. Just when I thought I got out, they pull me back in.
Entertaining.
They post some lolcats.
No, they haven't posted any lolcats yet that I've seen.
Informative.
At some point, litigation must come to an end.
Exactly.
Independent.
I'm not queuing.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
It's funny, they're all eating cake.
Roy, good.
You should see them from this side. There's three of them, and they're.
You need a button over there labelled cake extension 10 seconds.
Oh, do I? Okay, good. Will you just swallow and come back to the radio very
I'll make
shortly.
Some 10 second stingers for you.
Yeah, good. Yeah, Georgie, I think the cakes are going down a treat.
So good.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Dear. During the course of last week, the federal government had a. Sorry, not the federal government, the federal court had a case with Optus. Basically offering, let's put it into simplistic terms, a PVR, a VHS machine. But instead of having it at home, they offered it in the cloud, where Optus customers could go and record something off air and watch it at their leisure. Basically, time delaying a broadcast.
Yep, Optus call it the TV Now service.
There you go, that's what they call it. Now, this TV Now service...
So instead of having to have a machine at home to do it, a VHS machine or a digital recorder or any of those sorts of things, PVR, you just... You tell Optus to record the show for you, and then Optus will play it back to either your computer or your phone or whatever you happen to have.
Correct. At the time of your choosing.
Yep.
Now, the issue with that is that it could be, I think, as little as a couple of seconds after the broadcast.
Yeah, 90 seconds or something?
Yeah, which in effect, sort of some people, those rights holders, seem to deem that to be a live record, a live transmission. Now, this flies in the face of a lot of corporate deals.
Yep, and the people that really got up their nose was the AFL.
Yes.
Who had a deal for Telstra to have the rights to stream the grand final.
Yeah, they paid 150 lots of dollars.
Yep, to have Telstra the rights to stream the grand final live to mobile phones.
Yes.
And, of course, what this service allowed Optus customer to do was to tell Optus to record the show, and then once the show had started... They would start watching it just a minute or two behind.
Just like on your PVR.
Just like you can start watching...
When someone comes to the door.
Still recording, yep.
At home. And you can pause it and come back to it.
And so Optus customers were using that to watch the grand final on their Optus phones.
Is it worth fighting about, being able to watch football on your phone? Like, how many people do that?
Well, it's an Optus service. You may not necessarily be watching it on your phone.
How much did Telstra pay for the rights?
The entire package is worth $1.25 billion, the entire rights deal.
But that's the entire rights deal. The actual phone part of it was?
Yeah, about half that, I think.
That was about $150 million,
so
I think.
So much money.
For the streaming, yeah.
They must be getting that back then. So that's how many people are watching it on mobile devices.
Potentially. Well, Optus TV Now, the first announced in July last year, allows customers to use Storage Cloud to schedule, record and play back free-to-air TV on 15 channels from a 3G mobile or a PC.
Answer
to your question.
That'd be it then.
All subscribers get basically 45 minutes of free storage per month, while customers buy 5 hours for $7 or 20 hours for $10. Anyway, the AFL and NRL, the two biggest sporting codes in this country, are a bit up in arms about it for that reason. Now, we have Adam Turner, a regular on Tech Talk Radio, who put in his apologies this evening. He would have loved to have been here, but something came up. He had a better offer. But nonetheless, each and every week he submits this wonderful view from a couch. This couch is quite robust. It has wheels, and it moves around the countryside, as you'll probably find out if you're a new listener.
There's a photo of him on the actual couch now on the website, I noticed.
There is. It's been there for a while, but yes, very observant of you.
It's all right. I'll catch up.
Yes. So, anyway, Adam has a view on this, as you would expect, and here is this week's View from the Couch.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
Australian courts have finally ruled on place shifting, and the arrogant AFL has been dragged into the modern age.
Last week, the courts found in favour of Optus in the battle to block its TV Now service, which lets you schedule TV recordings and then stream them to your mobile phone. You can even watch shows while you're still recording them with a 90-second delay. Australian services such as TV Now already existed, but the AFL and NRL decided it was time to cry foul. Optus' service isn't targeted particularly at sports coverage, but as usual, the AFL believes that it's the centre of the universe. Media coverage of the decision varies greatly depending on whether you're reading the business section or the technology section. The sky is falling, according to the business writers, and Optus has snaffled free footy. Meanwhile, the technology writers are pointing out that TV Now falls within fair use rights under the Australian Copyright Act, which lets us record television at home and watch it later. By siding with Optus, the courts have told the AFL that it needs to get with the times rather than expecting special treatment. The AFL has a long history of expecting special treatment when it comes to broadcast rights. Internet radio listeners have probably already discovered that you can't listen to AFL games via the online simulcasts of stations such as Triple M and 3AW, except via Telstra. There are workarounds for this if you do your research. Even back in the 1980s, the AFL would scroll messages across the bottom of Channel 7's footy replay, warning you that you weren't allowed to record it with your VCR. The AFL's efforts to block TV Now are just as laughable. Technology is changing, and for once the law is on the side of viewers. The media industry has been dragged, kicking and screaming, into the technological age, slowly coming to terms with format shifting and time shifting, concepts which offer new opportunities when they're embraced rather than fought. Now place shifting has had its day in court, and the judge has found in favour of viewers. This fight isn't over yet, but if Optus loses, then all of our rights to time, format and place shift will be under threat, and we'll slide back to the bad old days of media giants dictating what we watch and when we watch it.
Entertaining, informative and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Valid points made there, and also the fact that you've got these deals done in the sporting arenas for 5 years at a go. Who's to say what new technology is going to come along in 2 years?
But the agreements are written by people who've got no clue what happened 5 years ago. They're people who are still living in the 1960s and think that, you know, broadcasting is broadcasting and you've stuck to geographic areas and all that sort of absolute crud.
I.e. solicitors who rely on fax machines for effective communication.
You speak passionately about this, Dr. Ron.
I do. Yes. I don't like fax machines.
No, I don't blame you either. Who's got a fax machine these days in the office? I haven't.
Lawyers still use fax.
Yeah, correct. They're the ones. Mm. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. It's just going to be a can of worms, this. It's started now. And mark my words, 5 years later, we'll still be arguing about the fact, and there'll be new technology, and this will be obsolete, and who will care anyway? Isn't that the way it works?
Yeah, pretty much.
But the Copyright Act in Australia allows you to make a recording of a broadcast for personal use only. Which means that you can sit there and you can record something off the radio, you could record something off the TV, providing it's for your own use. You're not going to sell it or do anything like that. Yeah, you're entitled to make a copy.
You're allowed to time shift, and you're also allowed to format shift, provided that you don't break any encryption to do it. You're not allowed to circumvent any means of encryption.
That means you can't download off iTunes and copy it onto your onto something that it's not destined
to go
to.
You can if the iTunes download doesn't have DRM on it.
DRM, Digital Rights Management.
Digital Rights Management, yeah, which the current iTunes ones don't. But it means you can make a backup copy of your CD, if you've got a CD of music that you've bought, you can make a backup copy of that to use in the car.
Who's got a CD player in the car these days? There's probably still a few out there,
there's probably still quite a few. Yeah,
because I know everyone's got their iPod-y things and everything. And you're allowed Bluetooth.
And you're allowed to format shift to copy your CD onto your iPad, or your iPod.
Yep.
So you're allowed to convert it from a CD into an MP3 to use on your iPod, because that's format shifting without breaking encryption. But in Australia, you're not allowed to make a backup copy of a DVD if it's got encryption on it, which most DVDs
do.
Don't
they?
Yeah.
So how do you stop the kids from wrecking them then?
Well, what you do is you break the law and you make a copy using the readily available software.
Yep. Correct.
Because it's fair under common sense. It's just not legal under Australian law. And it's because the law is insane in this instance.
And this is the whole argument that Optus had. They said, look, we're no more responsible for infringing copyright than the manufacturer of a VCR machine, for example, like Panasonic, we're not any more.
So we're going back to the safe harbour principles, really, aren't we here? Which is what AFAC have been arguing in the federal court over iiNet all this time.
Yeah, well, that's right.
And Telstra, they can't be held responsible for what's on their network or what their users do on the network.
And thankfully, under the common sense law, which Graham's talking about, common sense prevailed and the judge agreed with Optus and said, I understand what you're saying. You're making a valid argument. You are no more responsible for infringing on copyright. This is for fair. You're providing a service for people for fair use. And it's not just the service.
The judgment found that it was fair use.
That's right.
Exactly right.
Yeah. And the service is not just for AFL or NRL football. It's for anything.
Yeah.
If I want to record something on TV, then I can just use this service to do that. But it's just that the AFL and NRL are up in arms because of this rights deal that's in place, which they think, you know, is in jeopardy.
Indeed, and I guess let's have a look at both sides of the argument here. The AFL justifiably said on radio the other day, and I'm assuming this goes also for the NRL, that they put a lot of time and effort and money because they're a non-for-profit organisation, and all the work that they do, all the money goes back to the clubs so that they can better the game. And they're going to get a little bit frustrated with having the value of their sponsorship, the value of their rights eroded because of the fact that, you know, why would Telstra pay all that money if Optus can go and snaffle it and delay it by 90 seconds and get it for nix? So it asks a fairly interesting question, I think, for future of sponsorship, which needs to be sorted out in one way or another. So it's sort of, I don't know, it'll be interesting to see what happens in the legal system over the next few years, that's for sure.
The more logical way for them to look at it is that they've sold the broadcast rights in general to a TV network, and that they've got to understand that people are going to be viewing that coverage through various technological means, including PVRs, the Optus recording, whatever it's called, service, and other things.
And this is no different.
And that's no different. They've got to understand that when they sell the rights for it to be broadcast, that people are going to watch that broadcast in legal ways.
Yes, and suffice to say, this will be appealed. I think it has already, if I was reading today.
Well, they said explicitly that the AFL will exploit all avenues of appeal. Yeah. And what made me cranky as well was Stephen Conroy, a communications minister, saying that if regardless of whatever the outcome of the appeal process was, that the government would look at introducing legislation to protect the rights of the AFL and the NRL and so that these deals could continue. So in other words, we're going to introduce legislation which will specifically prevent Optus from streaming in this fashion. I thought, Stephen Conroy, come on, look, you do some really, really good things, and sometimes you do some really dumb things and come out with some really stupid things. You know, it's welcome to the 21st century. This technology's here, and this is how it's going to be used, and it's going to evolve from this point. You're just going to have to embrace the technology and think of other business models and other ways of doing things, rather than saying, oh, no, we don't like that, Stephen Conroy, no, we'll introduce legislation to ban, you know, PVRs. What? Are you serious? Come on. Mm. Get with the times.
Can I add something else to the mix?
Please do.
Optus is the biggest telco in the political donations respect to the current incumbent government.
Is that right?
Yes.
Ooh. I would like to put my conspiracy hat on.
Oh, look, you know, this is the thing, isn't it?
You've seen your conspiracy hat.
You can
it's a fetching hat.
It is fetching.
So it's you can all draw your own conclusions.
Yes, it is made of tin foil.
Mm. Mm. All right, so
stop them reading my thoughts.
Yes.
Sorry, I digress.
You do digress, don't you? Your conspiracy hat on.
If you all would right. like to read Lena's thoughts, just subscribe to her Twitter feed.
Oh, please don't.
Yes, she's right. Please don't. SOPA. Now, speaking of interesting things that occurred while we happened.
Which is SOPA is an American piece of legislation which is on its way through the US houses and has not yet been enacted. It's the Stop Online Piracy Act.
Yes. Now, this in itself has raised the eye. This is like our safe harbour laws in Australia, which Optus has just been given a good run for its money, saying we're not responsible for what our users do. We just provide a store and forward, a PVR and a cloud. In the United States, this is their version of what's going on over there. And I guess the big majors, like the big guys,
like
Google.
Wikipedia.
Well, Wikipedia is a classic example. They put up this is what the world will be like without Wikipedia. Type sort of thing, because they can't be responsible for all the stuff that gets put up there. But imagine
they effectively blacked out Wikipedia, the English Wikipedia only, for 24 hours.
Yes. Now, imagine YouTube or the world without YouTube. without Facebook, all those sort of things, where people tend to flaunt the law a little bit.
A Google would be a very different beast.
Wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
One of the reasons that people are opposed to this piece of legislation, the Stop Online Piracy Act, is because it weakens this safe harbour provision that's in other law in America, and has provisions to hold people like search engine providers and internet service providers liable for the content that they link to, or that they carry over their networks. So it would be like holding Google responsible for having in their search results a page which has pirated content on it. And it would be, in the case of a search engine or in the case of an ISP, it would be the equivalent of holding Telstra responsible for something illegal that was said in a phone call.
Just doesn't happen.
Which is patently absurd.
It is absurd, exactly right. So it would hold your ISP responsible for you clicking on a web page to view content that was illegal. And that's, ridiculous, obviously. But that's what's in the law, and that's why many people who understand the way the internet works, like Wikipedia and Google and other people, and many, many private individuals who use the internet, are opposed to this law.
Hmm. Yes, food for thought. Hopefully common sense will prevail here, but we have many major governments involved and many major players, big players with deep pockets.
Yeah, it would give the US government a legal basis for going after any website that it didn't approve of that had any part of it linked to the United States. So, for example, if it had a .com address, they could force the domain name service to make that address inaccessible. Not long ago, the US actually did use existing laws, existing powers that they have before SOAP has even been involved, to take down a website that was hosted in the .tv namespace.
Yes.
Because the .tv name server was in America, even though...
So territorially speaking, it was on home ground.
Even though the .tv namespace technically is assigned to the country of Tuvalu.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah. Not America. So, effectively, they were exploiting the fact that there was a name server hosting it in the US and that it was controlled by a company that was based in the US to take down websites that were, to a lot of people's thinking, the jurisdiction of another country.
What was the content on the website that the government felt compelled to...
I can't even remember the example. I was just appalled at the concept of
another country's domain space.
Of them interfering in another country's domain space.
What's your opinion on the mega upload issue that's happened, of course, last week and the week before, where allegedly this organisation, which offered free file storage, had lots of copyrighted material on there, which was available for download by almost anybody?
Yeah. And the question is, the company's defence is, we just provided the hosting and the users were using it to share illegal content. Is that the hosting company's responsibility to monitor and police that?
Well, the FBI were responsible. They arrested people in New Zealand and extradition proceedings have happened to bring people to justice in the United States.
I seriously hope the FBI didn't arrest anyone in New Zealand, because that would be a serious international incident. I hope the FBI had a warrant issued internationally that caused someone in New Zealand to arrest the people.
Well, some Kiwi got hauled across the colon and is heading back, but yes. And, of course, the other thing, too, with the mega upload thing, it started a whole heap of DDoS attacks, which is the distributed denial of service.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the recipients, obviously, the main recipient was the FBI, and this was sort of a fairly strategic and large-scale attack on the FBI. What's the organisation called again? Anonymous took out the FBI service, and then they worked down the food chain. The next one down the line was Universal Music.
Right.
So they took them out for a while too. But I guess this is where it's all coming to a head now, isn't it, with all this copyright and breaching of rights-related things?
And there's communities like Anonymous that are a little bit too far on the outlaw side of things. And there's organisations like Universal Music that are a little bit too far on the protect everything and to the point of being unfair. And we've seen how badly that can go wrong from the corporate point of view, where music rights holders have attempted to sue little old ladies because their grandsons downloaded a music track.
And they were the account holder and they've gone after them.
We've seen Sony try to protect their music by rootkitting people's Windows PCs, which I will never
forget.
That
didn't win them any friends, did it?
No, that did not. So we've seen how badly things can go wrong with these companies not quite understanding what they're doing. But we've also seen examples of how it can go right. Look at iTunes. Before iTunes, the most common way that somebody would get a music track off the internet was, in those days, Napster or one of those things.
Yeah, Kazaa or one of those file-sharing apps.
LimeWire.
That's still around, isn't it?
Now,
I think so.
Yeah. Now, for most people, it's easier to pay the 99 cents to iTunes, and iTunes have even realised that it's just as easy to give them a DRM-free copy of the file that you can convert and play on any device you want. You can burn it to a CD, you can do what you like with it, and you've paid for the track, the same as you would have paid for a CD.
It's cheap, it's easy, it's accessible.
It's easier to do it in a consumer-friendly way like that. And I can't stress this enough, how revolutionary that is and how important that is, that people look at that example. People will happily pay a fair price for content that is DRM free and easily accessible and good quality. Okay, yeah. if you try and sell 128K MP3, which is appallingly bad quality, or you try to sell an MP3 that's got rights management on it and things like that, people will rebel against it. Mm. If you make it easy for them, they'll happily pay the price. Now, what the movie studios and the TV producers and all those sort of people have got to look at is a way to do that for video content, and the world will become a much better place, and they will still make money because people will still be happy. I mean, look at the TV shows that we all love to watch. I mean, people in here, I'm sure, watch great shows like
Sherlock.
Big Bang Theory.
Big Bang Theory. That's the one.
Sherlock.
From the UK.
BBC, I think, isn't it? Yeah.
Doctor Who.
Mm-hmm. All those, and would have once been NCIS, although I think that's jumped the shark now.
NCIS has jumped the shark. Sorry, that's a whole other show.
But you know, people would be happy to pay for that sort of quality content if there was an easy way to do it DRM-free, so I could watch it on my laptop or on my Linux machine or on my Android phone. If it wasn't all locked up and tied down in agreements and you're not allowed to view this in this country and all that sort of nonsense, get rid of all that, make it easy, give me a nice simple way to pay, it might not be 99 cents for a TV show, it might be $1.50. Mm-hmm. Who cares? If it's easy to pay for, it's not too expensive.
Yeah. I downloaded all my MP3s illegally before I got my iPod and I had my first iTunes account. And then ever since then, all my music has been bought through iTunes. I don't buy CDs. I don't download.
It's not like you don't have the technical know-how to download
I could do
it legally.
But I don't have to now.
No, you can do it legally. Yeah. You're happy to pay the fee because you get a good quality product that's not encumbered.
And I'd rather give them my money just on my terms, I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, yeah.
Because these are, in a lot of cases, the music you listen to are artists that you respect. You want the money to go into the system to hopefully get back to the artist.
Exactly.
Exactly.
But I want to be able to hear that music where I want, how I want, when I want.
Yeah, you don't want to be tied down to DRM, so you can only copy it three times between machines before you...
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you upgrade your operating system, papa, you've lost a copy, you've lost a write on that piece of music. No, that sort of stuff's got to go, and so is the geographical stuff.
Yeah, in time it'll go. There's workarounds for everything,
but
then again,
proxies. I really am.
Your proxy argument, no, out the door. Shouldn't have to do that. It should be available.
Well, that means that program producers have to look at a global market and
that's
returns globally.
Right.
We're living in a global market now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but the program producers, the TV studios and the movie studios, don't yet understand. They're still living in a world that's 1960, where if I tell it that you can broadcast it on that transmitter there to your geographical area, then they assume no one outside there can see it, and that's not the way the world works anymore.
On that day, that time,
The world's moved on.
You can even see SOPA made it made us realize that it's a real global community now, because there's people who don't live in the United States who are so passionate about SOPA. And normally we would say that doesn't affect us, whatever, don't worry about it.
Well, the problem is that SOPA will affect people in other countries.
Yeah.
At the end, because anything that goes through or is hosted anywhere where the United States has reach. Mm. Plus the fact that the United States, I'm sorry, Andrew, but I have to say this, the United States are notorious for foisting their laws on other countries, like they have tried to do in Australia, to scupper our pharmaceutical benefit scheme in exchange for free trade benefit, all sorts of things. They have tried very hard to foist US copyright restrictions onto the Australian government, even more severe than they try to implement in the US.
GC gets points for using scupper and foist in the same sentence. I just like to say that. You get points
for
that.
Thanks, Lena.
Wordsmith points. I like those two words.
We don't use scupper and foist enough.
Scupper and foist should be used more.
What I was going to try and say is that I think we need to work out a where rights holders, the people who perform for shows for us, make music, make movies, still get a fair enough cut out of it, and yet we have the ability of seeing things, you know, globally at the same time. You know, an example, which I think we mentioned last year when James was in talking about cinemas, you look at a lot of films and they stagger film releases globally. Well, what happens... what happens is a film gets released in either Europe or the United States, and it's coming out on Blu-ray before it actually hits the cinemas here in Australia.
Yep.
And that in itself is a red rag to a bull to a lot of people, especially if it's a film which is going to be in one of the top tens, for example.
Yeah.
Tinker Tailor is one that comes to mind.
And you'll notice that with the bigger the film is, the closer the dates are together. And correct. With the really big films, they're global dates.
And you look at what the ABC...
And often, in fact, Australia will get them first.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Because because of the time zone situation, because it's today in Australia,
yep.
sooner than it is almost anywhere else in the world. Hello, New Zealand, you're even ahead of us. You're about the only one.
Correct. Wasn't there an island that moved time zone? Moved
there was.
That
was
Friday last year for that very reason.
Yeah.
Yep, and they moved to our time zone away from the US time zone.
Because they're doing more trade, more business with us.
With New Zealand and Australia than they were with the US, which is why they made the decision 100 years ago. Yep. To be on US time and to drive on the wrong side of the road. And now, a few years ago, they changed to drive on the left, on the correct side of the road. And just over Christmas, they changed time zones to be in our time zone. Yeah, it was an interesting case.
Good,
very
huh?
interesting case.
Yep. This is Tech Talk Radio. We must move on. There are other things to discuss this evening. Obviously, we should have done a three-hour show coming back this evening.
Absolutely.
Dr. Ron, just so that it waylays your suspicions.
Please.
Optus has topped the list of IT and telecommunications companies making political donations for the first time, providing $86,252 to state and federal Labor and Coalition branches.
Hello. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'll put that away now.
Just saying. Can I comment on something too?
Briefly, because I need to click this mouse button.
I know. There's some discussion going on in the chat. I use the phrase "jump the shark" during my rant a little bit earlier, and people are wondering what that means. When a show jumps the shark, when it goes from being something good to being something that's not really good anymore.
Worse than that. It's when it becomes unbelievable. Like it's just gone ridiculous all of a sudden out of nowhere.
Yeah,
It just spooks.
It comes from. The show Happy Days, where there was an episode where they won a competition, went across to Hollywood, Fonzie jumped over a shark in a pool wearing water skis. Yeah, the shark would know. Fonzie was wearing the water skis, not the shark.
which version did you see?
That would have been way more interesting.
And actually, there's a fascinating story behind that in that Henry Winkler's parents insisted that he tell the producers that he could water ski as one of his skills, so the producers decided to write it into the show. But...
Gee whiz.
Warlock in our chat room says the phrase "jump the shark" has jumped the shark. It's now "nuke the fridge."
Nuke
the fridge after Indiana Jones and the Crystal Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, where Indy hides in the fridge and there's a nuclear explosion. And
nuke the fridge. Yeah. That's right. And the fridge rolls down the hill and he gets out and he goes, brushes off the dust and puts his hat back on and wanders.
Very
on.
Good point.
It's nuke the fridge.
Nuke the fridge.
That's all terrible and it's unsafe. Do not climb into fridges.
Can I click this button now?
Yes.
You should.
Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
Yay! It's been a while.
What's happened?
Lots.
Where?
Lots.
We're going for the pub. We'll leave Lena to run the rest of the show, okay?
I can.
Very good.
I can't press buttons, though.
Can't you? No. It's only a mouse now.
Well, I can click a mouse. lots of stuff's happening. I'm going to dot point it.
Okay, dot away.
I'm going to dot point. Here
I go. I'm going to take a helicopter
the Global
overview.
Game Jam was on in January. And I think I spoke about it last year when it was on because I was a judge at the Melbourne contingent last year. This year, I didn't have to do any work. I got to just watch, which was kind of cool. It was run by the International Game Developers Association's Melbourne chapter, the IGDA, at La Trobe University. There was 28 teams, I think, by the end of it, and they all have 28 playable games on globalgamejam.org. And there's
so they're building games from the ground up.
They are, and but they're building them in 48 hours. So they have a weekend at La Trobe where they don't leave.
Yep.
And they have to make these playable games within 48 hours.
Do they bathe?
Yes, yes. The lovely Giselle from IGDA marches people to the showers when necessary.
So there's a personal
necessary.
Hygiene consultant.
Yes.
That's good.
She organised it perfectly. There was lots of food. Everyone was happy. She even arranged massage angels to come in for when they were all getting stressed and they're working at their computers.
Oh, wow.
And they would give them massages on their shoulders.
Fantastic.
Mm. So that was a bit of fun to go check that out. It's a really amazing energy to be in that room to see all these creative
imagine.
People going yep. crazy. And yeah.
Were you judging again this year?
No, I wasn't. No, I got to just go and have fun and watch.
Awesome.
I didn't have to have my judge hat on, which was fun. THQ, I talked a lot about them last year. It's not looking good for THQ. They're a really, really large publisher that are getting smaller and smaller and smaller. They lost $56 million in the holiday quarter.
Ouch. Wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of millions.
Wow.
That's a lot of millions.
It's almost all of them.
It's almost all of them. They've been threatened with removal from the NASDAQ stock exchange because their stock price has been valued at below a dollar for quite some time.
Really?
So that's
they'll be giving it away shortly.
That's the minimum requirement required for listing. If it's like that for 30 consecutive days, they'll have to be taken off the market. A single share of THQ stock is valued at 70 cents. A year ago, THQ stock was trading for over $6 a share. So this isn't good. This is largely blamed on major restructuring. They've been doing a lot of closing down local studios, like in Melbourne. I've talked about THQ closing down a few places here. Major restructuring, and they've decided to stop making games for the children's segment and focus on the hardcore segment, which is a bit interesting.
What have they written that we might know, Lena?
They've got recently done Saints Row the Third.
Saints Row the Third,
yeah,
okay.
And there was Saints Row 2 and Saints Row 1 before that.
Right.
UFC Undisputed 3 and Darksiders 2 are probably ones that people would be familiar with. They've done, yeah, but they're one of the major players and they're not looking too good, which is unfortunate. I think the switch away from the children's segment's a mistake, but that's, you know, that's my opinion.
It's just because the game industry is moving incredibly quickly and people aren't keeping up with demands and
it is, yeah.
Is this also a result of, you know, currency fluctuations where we can't
definitely in the case of THQ,
yeah,
they pay in US dollars
because it's up to $1.07 or nearly $1.08 when I looked at it before. Mm. Not that we're a financial show, but you know, I glance at it from time to time and you go, oh, exporting must be such a challenge at the moment,
yeah, definitely, definitely. And hiring Australians is expensive,
yeah,
at the moment. So, the R18 situation, I've got a little bit of an update on that. You know how Brendan O'Connor was our brother in the parliament trying to get this R18 up and running?
Yes, a national rating.
Yes, an R18 rating for video games
yes.
is what we would like, please. There's been a cabinet reshuffle and Jason Clare is now in charge. He's now the Minister for Home Affairs. He still believes everything Brendan O'Connor believes, thankfully, but they will be pushing for it. The bill will be presented to the first session of parliament this year, which is February 7th.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, that's soon. That's very
soon.
You
know
how I know?
How? I'll tell you after the show.
Okay. In order for the R18 bill to be passed through the lower house, the House of Representatives, Claire's office says it requires the support of at least two crossbench MPs. So these are the names we're all sick of hearing at the moment. Rob Oakeshott, Tony Windsor, Andrew Wilkie and Bob Catter.
Oh,
the
them.
Greens MP and Adam Bandt. They've remained silent on their stance of R18, so let's watch that explode, shall we? Get some popcorn while they all try and get, you know, headlines on the paper.
We have talked about this before, but briefly, the arguments on one side is that we don't want games that have too much sex and violence and
yep.
so on, and having an R18 game rating only encourages that. The which is absolute nonsense.
It is.
Because what happens in practice is that the games that would be rated R actually get forced through as MA15+.
Or refuse classification. Yeah.
So either they're not available at all, or more likely the game manufacturer lobbies and gets it rated lower than it ought to be lowered,
yeah.
rated, so that you end up with a situation where games that are designed for adults, and the majority of gamers are adults, not children, are not available in Australia like they are in other parts of the world. And if they are, they're not labelled correctly to protect children from being given access to them.
Exactly. So it's a silly, silly thing that we're even debating it. But to pass through the Senate, the bill...
But it's very easy for people who don't understand that to think, oh, no, we shouldn't have those sorts of games here.
Yeah, yeah. It's easy to just put your arms in the air and say, won't somebody think of the children? But that's what we are doing when we say we want an R18 rating.
Yeah.
To pass through the Senate, it needs the support of either the Coalition or the Greens, both of which are sympathetic to the R18 issue. So that's good at least. But it'll take a while. While we've been waiting for that, EA's new take on the Syndicate franchise has been refused classification due to high impact violence.
So which game from EA?
Syndicate.
Syndicate?
Yes. Syndicate has been refused classification.
So that means people will download them off American sites or non-Australian sites so they can play.
Or they will import them. And speaking of importing games... You know our retail figurehead and master of delusion,
Dick Smith.
Jerry Harvey. No, the other one. The other one.
Stephen Cotton. Oh.
Yeah. Director of Harvey Norman.
Yeah,
you know how he's all grey imports are bad, rah, rah, rah.
Yeah.
He's opening a video game import website. So
really?
He's done a bit of a backflip there.
Oh, go Jerry.
He's been a long-time opponent of foreign retailers shipping products into Australia using the tactic to avoid GST. But today... He sings a bit of a different tune. I think he wants some moolah. Announcing a new game import website. Yeah, exactly. That will do exactly what he's long despised.
Yep.
Most of them are going to be imported from Ireland by the looks. But just in case you were worried that he wasn't delusional enough and you're worried that he might give up his delusions, which would be sad for us all, he's been quoted as saying, in theory, we should get 100% market share. Ah, he's back.
There it is.
There it is. Whew, I was getting worried.
This is the same Jerry Harvey where you can go to his website for his Harvey Norman chain
and you can
buy things, but you have to go to the shop to pick them up.
Yep.
That's the one.
That's
absolutely
crazy. So hopefully this will teach him that part of running an internet store is having a courier company come and pick the goods up and deliver them to the buyer's home.
Mm.
That'd
exactly.
be nice.
Yeah.
Take no chairs.
No, but he'll go out of business in 6 months and he'll blame everyone. This internet's really silly, yeah.
Yeah, the internet doesn't work, look.
Evolve or die.
It'll be Jerry's mowing, surely.
Mm. There was a new Xbox dashboard released over the Christmas break.
A new
update.
I didn't know they had an old one.
Well, yes. That's the UI, the way it looks, the user interface.
Is it good?
I don't have an Xbox. A lot of people, whenever the dashbox changes, you can look to the Twitters and everyone's going, I don't like change! But this one's actually really good.
There was a new boxy interface, Dr. Ron. Did you see that?
No, I have a boxy.
Oh, no. Okay.
Sorry,
where you were.
The answer is no.
This one adds Australian accent voice support for the Kinect, which we took a while to get that. YouTube, SBS On Demand, ABC iView, Daily Motion, and the new UI design.
Is it easy to use and navigate?
Yes.
Well, that's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but people don't like change. You don't change.
It's change for the better.
Telstra are going to launch a game streaming service in Australia, apparently.
Oh, why?
I have no idea.
At least your billing will be out by 6 weeks.
You'd think they'd try and get the phones right, wouldn't you?
Yeah, get the phones, we're going to work first, Telstra.
According to a report in The Australian, Telstra is planning to launch a subscription-based game streaming service as early as next year, utilising Telstra's T-Box digital set-top box, allowing users to stream games directly to the television sets.
Is that thing still around?
Yeah, this is a horrible, horrible idea. The report states that Telstra's plans to launch a game streaming service come as part of its recent announcement in June to invest $800 million over the next 5 years on cloud technology. Telstra have responded to the article in The Australian saying it made it sound like the service was closer to completion than it really was, saying it's still in the concept stage. Hope it doesn't make it out of the concept stage, personally. You just can't offer games like that. It's silly. Silly, silly, silly. Guess what happened on Christmas Day?
Santa came?
Yes, and... Angry Birds.
And he brought with him. Yep.
Angry Birds was downloaded 6.5 million times on Christmas Day.
Onto people's brand new devices.
Yep. They all get a new device for Christmas, and the first thing they put on it is Angry Birds. Mobile application analytics firm Flurry recently found that 6.8 million iOS and Android devices were activated on Christmas Day. Another prominent finding in the Flurry report was that 242 million apps were downloaded across iOS and Android devices on December 25th.
That's a lot of
Can
apps
I tell you,
that's a
in
lot.
A short space of time.
Mm.
I bought my wife an iPhone for Christmas.
Because you love her.
and it's broken already.
How?
Oh, no.
She threw it on the ground.
Oh, well.
Crack the glass.
Well.
5 weeks, and it's got a cracked glass.
Go back. Tell her to go to the Apple store and say, I just woke up, and it was like this, and I don't know
Elena's spontaneously cracked overnight.
It was Bing. Spontaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the point of my story is that I had to ring Telstra on Christmas Day. Well, I didn't have to, but I chose to actually have the SIM card activated, as you just mentioned.
Of course.
Trap for young players. Don't ever ring Telstra on a Telstra mobile because they ping you big bucks. It cost me $9 to be in a call center for 30 minutes.
Gosh.
So you're ringing the telephone company, your carrier, on their system, and they ping you for it.
And you're paying for it.
Thank you, Telstra.
You're calling home.
And it's not part of your cap. Thank you, Telstra.
Oh, that's not nice.
It's not included in the cap.
Not included in the cap. It was extra.
That's harsh.
Mm. Yeah. So watch out when you ring those.
Graham's got angry birds. He had it before Christmas Day, though, I think.
I can raise you with my mouse button.
Andrew's got a button for that.
I do. I won't, though.
But yeah, I think that's really interesting seeing how many devices are being activated on Christmas Day.
It is.
Yeah, I like that.
They're good.
And my last one, Steam.
Oh, yeah.
Our favourite digital
the one that been
games
hacked.
Thing. No.
Not recently.
Not again.
Not since. Not this year, anyway.
No, not this year. It's a new start. Fresh start. They've hit 40 million users.
Whoa.
Their year-over-year unit sales are up 100% for the seventh consecutive year.
For those who don't know what Steam is, what is Steam?
It's a digital distribution hub.
Games distribution site, yeah.
Portal.
Of all types of flavours and colours and...
It's a portal.
It's a portal portal.
It's a portal portal.
Windows, Mac and PlayStation 3.
Cool.
Can use Steam. But, yeah, it's a great way to buy games online in digital formats instead of your
especially if you want your credit card number distributed far and wide.
Oh, stop it. It's a fresh start.
Between Steam and Sony, they've got the market cornered for credit cards.
Yes.
They're in the news for all the wrong reasons towards the end of last year. But
they
It's a service that we all in here use or have used in the past.
And we've also lost a panel member to the cult of Minecraft.
Have we? Who?
That was other news
over
the Christmas break.
You started playing Minecraft.
Don't point at me like that.
Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Yeah, I know.
Wasn't I, Your Honour?
What's normal? Do I have a problem? Do I have a medical problem?
I don't think you have. Is stuff still getting done?
Well, I'm here. I'm dressed.
Are you remembering to bathe?
I'm showering. Yeah, I'm eating.
Then everything's fine.
Yeah,
you don't
okay.
have a problem.
In the file,
yeah, you wait till you see the tweets at 4 a.m. He has a problem.
In the few remaining moments we have of the show, because time has passed
time
us
of the
very
day,
quickly.
Isn't it?
Sorry, there was so much to talk about.
I know, we should have done a 3-hour show, but anyway, no, we pass out after 2 hours. We've proven that in past shows. Just a couple of things we should probably talk about. Google's privacy changes. Did you see that thing pop up on the screen
the other day? I clicked the button and said, yep, okay, got it, thanks, because I knew
it
was in a hurry.
And it every other device?
Yeah.
Yes, it did.
It kept telling you over and over again?
Yeah.
I'm like, well, I get it.
Anyway, in a nutshell, they basically put out a report or a statement saying that we're not collecting more data about you. Our new policy simply makes it clear that we use data to refine and improve your Google experience, which products or services you use.
Which boils down to we profile you so we can target ads.
Thank you, Graham. You paraphrased that beautifully for me.
Yowch.
Anyway, that was Google's new big... And that was a splash screen that everyone clicked through. What's that click? Okay, done.
The Google spin is that they're making it the same privacy policy on across all their different services. So you don't have to read a different policy for Gmail than you do for Google Apps, than you do for the Google Search Service, than you do for
Google Plus.
They've made them all the same except for the slight differences.
They say we're making things simpler and we're trying to be upfront about it.
Yes.
Yes.
Which is good spin.
Yeah.
And that's all it is.
Mark Zuckerberg, $5 billion he's after
Speaking
in a
good
float.
Spin.
We should talk about this.
Why
do you reckon Facebook needs to publicly float?
Zuckerberg. No, Zuckerberg.
Okay.
Zuckerberg.
We've had emails. Evil nasty fan mail. Andy
correct.
Fan mail about that.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah.
$5 billion.
The Berg. Let's call him the Berg.
He's now affectionately known as the Berg.
Joining Jerry Harvey in the mental ward.
Yeah. Correct. What do you reckon they need another $5 billion for in a public float? Are they now feeling the pinch of Google's G+? Do you think? Are they really trying to...
Oh, that's adorable.
Are they really...
Google Plus aren't pinching anything. No one uses Google Plus.
Don't let it die. Don't let Google Plus die.
Google employees
Please.
Use Google Plus.
No one else.
They are not pinching a single thing.
I like Google Plus. I want it to survive.
No.
I think we all do, don't
I want
we?
It to let clobber it... Facebook over the head with a big, you know, club.
Put it out of its misery.
No.
Just let it die.
No.
Just like, what was that other one?
That's how insignificant it was. You're going to remember the name of it. Exactly. Google Wave. Yeah, that was insignificant.
Mm. It's still there.
Yeah, the underlying stuff is still there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Poor thing.
Yeah, you can actually see
some of the underlying stuff's in Google Plus.
It is.
Yeah, dear. Anyway, so there you go. They're doing a bit of a public offer. I'm not quite sure how that's going to work, but I guess
you're going to buy shares.
No.
Good luck with that, Mr. Zuckerberg.
But the company's worth, well, put it this way, finally there'll be a value on Facebook, because like there's a value on everyone else who's been floated publicly, you know, Apple and Microsoft and all that have a public value, but now it seems that Facebook will go the same way.
Georgia in our chat room says it's a good thing, they'll be answerable to shareholders.
Oh, come on, they'll be untouchables.
Who will? The shareholders?
No.
The board? I mean,
the board. Why will they change a habit of a lifetime?
I don't know. Well, all the shareholders will be Facebook users.
Why would the shareholders be unhappy with the way Facebook do business? It's only Facebook users that are unhappy with the way Facebook do business.
Shareholders would be unhappy if they don't make money.
Yeah, that's the only thing that would upset the shareholders, yeah.
Maybe Google could buy them, and then they could use their privacy policy.
No. It's an expensive privacy policy.
It is. See, we get to delve into this, yes.
Hard-hitting.
Well, Microsoft had a go at Google about their privacy policy, but we don't have time to talk about it.
Andrew has lost the
plot. The plot is lost.
Considerably.
Sugar crash.
Absolutely.
What else you got there in your big pile of...
Oh, look, I've got lots of things we were going to talk about tonight, but we didn't actually do anything.
We didn't make it, no.
Uh-huh, stole your show.
No, exactly right. There's a fake Apple TV salesman nabbed in a Sydney raid. Did you hear about that?
Fake no, tell us about TV that. Salesman.
No, you'll have to wait till next week now.
Oh, a teaser. Nice.
Hey, speaking of corporate takeovers and things, are you going to put in a bid for Dick Smith Electronics?
No.
Pocket money.
Speaking of jumping the shark and, what was it, fridging
Andrew
the...
Andrew Mac Electronics.
Nuking the fridge.
Nuking
the fridge. Yeah. Fridging the nuke. Oh, by the way, have you been Hungry Jack's lately?
I fridged the nuke.
Been Hungry Jack's lately?
Greasy Jocks? No, I haven't.
No, they got public Wi-Fi. They're rolling out Wi-Fi like Macca's have now, so you can sit in there and have a burger with a
welcome
Wi-Fi.
To the 21st century. That's good. Yeah. Great.
Yeah, it's good like that. Other than that, Twitter buys an anti-malware firm. Why? One might ask. I don't know why.
Twitter buys an anti-malware firm.
Twitter has made another stake in security space with the acquisition of an anti-malware company called, I think it's Dasient, Dasient, however that's pronounced. I don't know why.
Has Twitter made 1 cent of money yet?
I don't know.
For anything.
I don't know. They've got a big building in San Francisco. Lydia and I drove past there and we said, there's the home of Twitter.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's a business model. It's just, it's going to reach critical mass shortly, isn't it?
Yeah.
Now, speaking of companies that should team up, Angry Birds and Twitter should do some sort of a cross-promotion relationship thing.
No.
Why, Graham?
Twitter Birds. See if that's registered. That's a good domain.
Angry Twits.
Angry Twits. That's us, yeah.
Twitterbirds.com.
There's a lot of angry twits out there. Just read some of the Twitter posts. Ooh. The other interesting news, which we can't really talk about now, is
404 era.
Windows Phone 8 and all that sort of stuff is coming to a head. We'll discuss that in future episodes.
That's
too.
What the new Xbox dashboard looks like.
Yeah, well,
WinPhone.
It's all coming together for Microsoft, but whether it's too late, that's
Mobile Phone 8. Mofo 8.
Oh, okay. So the new Xbox interface is that same thing that they're going to foist on PC users to make, so your Xbox is going to look like a mobile phone as well.
Yeah, it's all going to be sort of similar looking, like it fits in a horrible, ugly team of UIs. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dreadful. No, it's not too bad on the Xbox, but I wouldn't want it on my PC or anything else.
The Oddspot gadget and website of the week is coming up.
Who's doing those?
After this. I don't know, but we're going to try some automation here. Fingers crossed. Will technology be on our side?
You're confusing me because you're sitting there looking very relaxed.
I know, and I just go like this, and nothing happens.
Oh, no!
It's good, isn't it?
Your hands are nowhere near the CD players. It's very confusing. Because we used to rely on visual cues from Andrew as to when things were going to start magically playing in our headsets.
And it doesn't happen now?
Well, no, you just look all...
There we go. I've got to click the mouse.
Listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Adobe's going to stop doing Flash. That's pretty good.
What lengths would you go to watch free-to-air television?
Not me.
I was at GCAP, which is the Game Connect Asia Pacific conference.
I told you it was GC something.
It's exciting times, isn't it?
The ACCC doesn't do anything either, to be fair.
And Andrew's just grimaced because he's one of those web designers that thinks that he should have control over everything about the way a website looks.
Entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool!
Interesting, isn't it?
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
The Sennheiser IE8 model noise-cancelling headphones. No, this is not a special OEM release of a Microsoft web browser. The IE8 headphones, Sennheiser says, are optimised for professional monitoring use and ideal for portable AV devices like MP3, DVD and CD players, iPods, iPhones or any other mobile phone with a 3.5mm stereo jack.
So I can't use it in here?
Why the pause, Dr. Ron? Oh, the 3.5?
I just thought about something that was nothing to do with Tech Talk Radio. I thought, Dr. Ron, pick that up later when you're not talking on the radio station.
So
I
will. Lost you for a second.
Yeah, sorry. I'm back with you now, though. It's okay. My doctor says it'll happen from time to time. And to come back and see him if it becomes a problem. Features dynamic drivers with powerful neodymium magnets. Is that right? Is that
how you say
that
word?
Neodymium magnets.
Wolverine?
Yeah, no, that's...
Adamantium.
Adamantium, that's right.
Adamant. No, that's doing it again.
Yes, that word. Well, how do you say it, Graham? Neodymium magnets.
Can you work that out later? We're running out of time.
Blah, blah, special blah, blah, blah. Super duper high-powered magnets, go.
RRP, $540, but shop around. Graham, you said once upon a time there are two types of headphones in the world.
Yes, there's Sennheiser's and there's bad ones.
There you go. That's our gadget of the week, Andrew. The Sennheiser IE8 noise-cancelling headphones.
Here it is, everybody, the world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio website of the week.
This is why I'm broke. .com.
Oh, we were going to have this last year.
Yeah.
It's finally found its way to air, has it?
This is why I'm broke. .com is a free online magazine blog run by a few geeky ladies and gentlemen who partake in far too much internet shopping for their own good. So the site staff have a wide array of cool, fun, useful, unique products showcased on their website.
They forgot the apostrophe.
This is why I'm broke. You can't have an apostrophe in a domain name.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Noob.
It is.
No, that's the internet.
It's the internet. You can buy everything from camera lens coffee mugs to USB-powered goldfish bowls. Prices range from as low as $1.93 for a cassette tape iPhone case to $65,000 for a dolphin-shaped powerboat.
What?
$65,000 for a dolphin-shaped powerboat. The website's integrated with Facebook and other social networks, so you can post comments directly to your walls and your timelines, and you can plus one things and like things and do all that crazy stuff. That's our website, Andrew. www.thisiswhyimbroke.com.
Tech Talk Radio, App of the Week.
Thank you, Nick, for this week's App of the Week suggestion. Tripozo, T-R-I-P-O-S-O. Tripozo is a world travel guide. You can download all guides for major cities around the world. You're able to use the application offline once the guides are downloaded, which is good. It's available on Android and iOS. It's best to download before you travel, says Nick, as some guides are huge, e.g. the United States is 241 megabytes, which is big for a mobile device, but that one has most major cities in the one file. Also, you're able to download individual cities. It has comprehensive travel information on culture, transport, history, and a whole lot more, says Nick. Give it a go. Cheers. Thanks, Nick, for the contribution.
Thank you, Nick.
Have a look at that application. That's our application of the week, Andrew. Tripozo.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
Ma, the meatloaf!
Bon. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
A Taiwanese man died while playing video games at an internet cafe.
Listen up, Luna.
As dozens of other patrons carried on for hours, apparently unaware they were sitting next to a corpse. The 23-year-old checked in...
It wasn't a casino, was it?
It wasn't.
No?
The 23-year-old checked in at the cafe in New Taipei City on Tuesday last week and was found deceased the following evening, still sitting upright in his chair with his hands outstretched at the computer keyboard. A waitress last saw him talking on the phone around noon on Wednesday. His body had apparently been sitting there for up to 9 hours.
Whew.
An initial police investigation found he may have died of a cardiac arrest. But to answer the obvious question, the police have not released the name of the game the man was playing when he died.
In the studio, they're looking at each other.
It's irrelevant. Shit. Don't read books for 9 hours straight.
That's an
Don't
elephant.
Do anything for 9 hours straight.
That's an elephant.
You'll die.
And on that cheery note...
Oh, dear.
Andrew, happy birthday for this week too, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I won't say what day it is, but we're in the vicinity, aren't we?
Yeah, we are very close. We are close. Anyway, I've come to the conclusion I'm old enough to know better.
Nearly 35.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, dear. And that's the first Tech Talk Radio back for 2012.
It's all downhill from here.
It is. Welcome back, everybody, on the chat. They're there in their droves this evening. Thank you all so much for coming along and gracing us with your pleasure this evening as we scroll up and down the chat. They're all there. A few noticeable absence, but maybe next week. Come and visit us. Podcast available, thanks to Graham, from tomorrow morning onwards, so you can listen to it, relive the moments, as the Kodak used to say before they went belly up.
Don't forget to register on the forum if you haven't already done so. And don't forget to subscribe to our email newsletter. You'll get weekly reminders of when the program's on, special things which other people don't hear about on the show. There's links to show notes and good stuff.
There is.
Subscribe to the email newsletter.
Should we all come back and do this again next week?
Let us legally spam you.
I'm really enjoying this automation because it's just a mouse click away. It's wonderful.
It's confusing the hell out of us because we're used to you pressing things on buttons over there, but you're not even looking over there.
No, I just do this. Bye now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer. Expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by GC Support and Shaq West. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and around the world that broadcast the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. Contact us for the two-hour version or access the one-hour show on the Community Radio Network. Visit cbaa.org.au for further details. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03-8682-9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. Don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk Radio chat, and solve your issues on the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.